Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said, if I could kick the fella responsible for most of my problems, I couldn't sit down for a week. We appreciate the opportunity of being with you today. It's good to be able to study from the Bible, and we're glad you're listening. All right, let's get back now to our discussion concerning what is a Christian or who is a Christian. We're not trying to look down on anyone and determine that we're better than others and that we're going to determine who is a Christian and who is not. We're simply suggesting God in His Word has given to us instruction concerning how you become a Christian, and we're simply trying to commit that which has been said by God to those who are around about us. We found out in our study that you make a disciple by baptizing him into Christ, and the disciples were called Christians. So the conclusion would be, if you become a Christian, then you're taught and baptized into Christ. Some of the characteristics that we've looked at that have to do with being a Christian are the fact that a Christian is a righteous person. A righteous person who follows the teachings of the Bible. Psalms 119:172, Thy words are righteousness, thy commandments. Therefore, doing the commandments of the Lord is what we have in mind when we talk about living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Also, sincerity is a quality that would be true of a Christian. Could you imagine a person just playing at religion and thinking that will suffice? They take for granted, I assume, that God doesn't know what their thoughts are and what their intent is. Well, does the Bible teach that indeed we answer to God who knows all things? Well, the answer is yes. God knows all things, and therefore we simply must be sincere, or God knows that. Now, I'm not able to determine who is a hypocrite and who is not, but God is, because He knows the hearts of men. Also, we noted that a Christian is a committed person. That is, they have given themselves wholly to the Lord. Look at the passage in Romans 12:1-2, when Paul says, I beseech you therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Present your bodies means we give our lives totally to the Lord. Now, certainly a Christian does the things that other people do. They have a job, they go about with their families, and they do the things that other people do in that regard, but they have given their life to the Lord, and so everything they do, whether it's their work or whatever it is governed by the teachings of Christianity. And so they have committed themselves to living the Christian life. We present our bodies as a living sacrifice in our daily life. Look at Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. We put the Lord first. We commit ourselves to worship. God is worthy. He deserves our worship. The Father seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. John 4:23-24. And so we worship our Father according to His word, in spirit, that is, with our heart in what we're doing. The committed person is the one who denies himself, takes up his cross, and follows the Lord. Read carefully the 14th chapter of the book of Luke. Begin about verse 26, read through verse 33. Notice the Lord says, you must hate your father and your mother, your brother, your sister, and so forth, yea, in your own life also. Now, it would be unreasonable for us to think that Jesus was saying, you must have bad feelings towards your family in order to be my disciple. He wasn't saying that, and that should be very clear to all of us. What he was saying is that you must love me more than your family. Your family comes secondary. First of all, love the Lord. Let him be first in your life. And so the committed person lives a life of self-denial, submission of his will to the will of the Father in heaven. Well, also, a Christian, the one who is a child of God, is a happy person. Now, I realize sometimes people have gotten the idea that Christianity does not bring happiness. Pardon me. Sometimes they reason that being a Christian takes away everything that is fun, everything that gives you joy or pleasure, that Christianity takes all of these things from your life. Well, I affirm that's not the case. God doesn't take anything away from us that would make us happy, except those things that are not good for us. The things that are not good for us, the Lord takes away. You read the list. If you'd look at a passage like the Galatian letter, chapter 5, start with verse 19. And if you were looking at the Roman letter, chapter 1, start about verse 23. You look at the list of things that are mentioned there, and those are not things that are good for us that the Lord takes away. Those are things that are not good for us, things we ought not to be doing. And so very clearly, when the Bible tells us don't do these things, it's for our own good. That would bring us unhappiness if we followed the pursuit of those things. I think certainly you can see that there is a life that is happy. That's the Christian life, and that's the way God wants us to live. If you go down through the list of things that we have just mentioned, you'll find that murder, drunkenness, fornication, adultery, all of these things are terms that simply say to us, you must not engage in these things because they're contrary to the kind of life you ought to be living. Very clearly, the Lord takes those things away from us. But have you seen a person who has peace of mind, who gets along with his family, who gets along well with his neighbors and those around about him? You're seeing a person who's practicing the principles of Christianity. Does Christianity bring happiness? Does it bring joy to the life of those who are about us? No question about it. Therefore, the Christian is a person who wants to live that happy life. Look at this statement in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8. The record says, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Look at the contrast that is made here. Godliness has promise in this life and the life that is to come. Now, if a person says, I'm going to have all the pleasure I can get, I'm going to get all the gusto I can possibly get going through this life, look at what he has. He has a momentary pleasure. Hebrews 11, 24, 25, Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Can you see in that passage that sin is temporary? Sin is here for a while, it's here for a season. But very clearly, sin is not going to bring about a lasting joy, a lasting pleasure. And so if you look at the passage, it simply says to us, there is a joy that comes and is temporary, but there also is a joy that is lasting and that will be with us throughout eternity. The Christian, then, is a happy person. He's happy in this life. He enjoys the pleasures of this life, but he also has heaven to look forward to in the after a while. We appreciate very much the opportunity of being with you today. I hope that you remember that it was Jesus who said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We now return you to our announcer.